Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins almost in the middle of the Omid, if you want to count, 19 lines from the top. You'll notice we have a trapezoid or volcano shape around the word boi, and we'll explain that shortly. First, we glance at the side where we have our nosei topic heading. Bo oleo kishinara velo shilem ad shenisar samahu. Imagine a person raped a nara, a girl between age 12 and 12 and a half, which generally speaking obligates the offender to pay a fine of 50 shekel kesef, 50 pieces of silver. He had the intimacy, the rape, when she was at the age of Na'arus, that age period between 12 and 12 and a half, but he didn't pay the money, which is due to the father. He didn't pay until she entered Erusin, until she entered marriage with somebody. The Gemara. We have this volcano shape, and under the Mivneh heading, we note this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara, with the narrow part facing upwards. Those are she'elos, questions. The inverted shape would be tshuva, a response. The Gemara, boi minei rovo me'abai, bo oleho v'nesarso. The offender raped her when she was a naro, and then she entered Erusin. Mahu, what is the din? Omar Le Abaye responds, Mi Ksiv, does it say in the Pasuk Venosa Navi Hanaro Asher Lo Arusa? Does it say that the payment is made to the father of the Nara provided she is not an Arusa, that she hasn't entered marriage? According to Abaye, since it doesn't say that, the payment is still due to the father, even if she entered Erusin, even if she entered a marriage with somebody. Rava responds, though, to this answer. He asks, Uletameich, according to your approach, Hodesanya, Bo Aleha Venises, Liatzma. A Tanaic source says a man raped a woman. And that generates an obligation to pay the knas, the fine. And in the interim, before he paid it, she consummated her marriage with some other man. Erusin is the first stage, Nisuin Nises is the second stage, the consummation of the marriage. And the source says that she is to receive the money instead of the standard procedure of paying the father. Well, according to your approach, Rava asks, does it say that the payment is made to the father provided she is not a nisua? Now, according to you, the payment should really be to the father. Since it doesn't say that you pay the father provided she is not a nisua, it doesn't say that. Therefore, you're paying the father even if she is a nisua. And yet, the source doesn't read like that. The source says that you will pay her. So then, just to repeat the question or restate it, according to Abaye, why is it then that if she entered Erusin, the father still receives the payment, but if she entered Nisuin, the father won't receive the payment anymore, she'll receive it? The Gemara answers, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare her entering Erusin to her going all the way and consummating her marriage, reaching Nisuin? Hosam, in the case of Nisuin, we have a parallel precedent for what we've said. Namely, we know that if the girl was raped and she reached Bagrus before any payment was made, before the case was tried in court. Bagrus is Motsi Mirshus Av. Rashi says, lower part of the narrow lines, Bagrus Motsi Mirshus Av Delo Motsinu Shizichsu Leiter Bevito Ela Mecher Bekatnus Ushar Shevakon Knosso Maisyuda Benarus Kafinu Perik Naro Avol Bebagrus Lo Ashuhon. We don't find that a father receives benefits that accrue as a result of his daughter if she is a bogeres. Since the Torah doesn't give a father benefits that are accrued through the daughter after she reaches Bagrus, the age of 12 and a half, therefore there is no reason to think that the father would receive the fine. So the Gemara continues, presenting Abaye's point of view. Since Bagrus takes her out of the domain of her father, the Nisuin Motsian Mirshus Av, when a woman reaches Nisuin, she consummates her marriage with someone else, she leaves the domain of her father. Whereas before Nisuin, her father, for example, was able to annul her vows, now when she reaches Nisuin, her father can no longer annul her vows, indicating that Nisuin removes her from the father's domain. Ma Bagrus Bolo Bogra Latzmo, just like in the case of Bagrus, if the rape had taken place and before the case was brought to Din, she turned into a Bogeris, she continued aging, she passed the 12 and a half year mark, the payment is made to her. Af Nisuin Baal Elvenise, so too in the case of Nisuin, if she had been raped and then subsequent to the rape she entered Nisuin, the payment is Le'atzma, to her. Elo Erusin, but the case of a girl having been raped and then becoming an Arusa, Mi Komafni Mirshusa Dav Legamri, does Erusin remove her completely from her father's domain? That's not so. Ha Tanan, we have the following Mishnah later, this Mishnah from Maseches Nedarim. Nara Murasa, a girl who entered Erusin, Ovia Ubaila Mefirin Nidorea. Even though she entered Erusin, she started marriage with a man, her father still is in the picture with regard to a vow annulment. Therefore, Abaye maintains his position that Baal Elvin Isarsa, Abaye says, the father will still get the payment because she's still considered in his domain. As we continue, we see a new Mishnah, and on the side we have the Noseh, the Mivneh, the structural note. Hevdelim Bein, the correction. The Noseh is the topic heading, not the structural note, but the topic is Hevdelim Bein Oynes Lemefate, distinctions between the two objectionable, reprehensible acts. One onus is rape, mefate is seduction. When we speak about these topics of oynes and mefate, and we speak in terms of the knas payment, there are other payments that are made as well. There are other medical expenses, and the Mishnah here makes reference to those other expenses. But when we speak about oynes and mefate in the context of knas, the fine, there's an upper age limit up till 12 and a half years, up till the end of the narus period, would we be able to speak about the knas payment. The knas is paid both in the case of ones and in the case of seduction. The father would receive the payment if his little girl was seduced. The Mishnah, Hamefate Noisein Shloish Advarim Voines Arba'a. The Mefate pays three forms of payment, and the rapist will pay four. Hamefate Noisein Boshes Upagam Uknas. Boshes is embarrassment. Pagam is depreciation. Knas is the fine. Moisef alav ones shenoisin es atzar. In the case of ones, it was forced upon her. She wasn't cooperating. So there's tzar, there's pain as well. Ma bein ones lemefate. What is the difference between these different acts and the penalties? That we already pointed out that the ones will pay the tsar payment. Mefate, the seducer, does not. The rapist pays immediately. The mefate pays lichashiyotzi. Now, this expression lichashiyotzi is not a clear expression. But we can say, based on the Gemara's analysis later on, he will pay in the event that the father objects to his marrying the daughter, his daughter that was seduced. So that's a second difference. A third difference, the ones is an expression, means that he must marry her. If she agrees to the marriage, he has no choice in the matter. The seducer, so if he wants to divorce her, he is able to do so. Not so in the case of the rapist. What is an illustration of his being forced to marry her and stay with her? Afilu hi figeres, afilu hi suma. Even if she is a lame girl, even if she is blind, afilu hi mukas shchin, even if she's afflicted with bodily boils, he must marry her and he must remain with her. Nimsibadavar erva. If, however, she, the girl that he raped, that we now describe as having had to marry her, but if he finds that she is promiscuous, and as a married woman, let us say she has intimacy with other men, that's a dvar erva, then or she'eino ru'uya lovo b'Yisrael, or it turns out that he raped a girl that's not able to marry into the Jewish fold, like an illegitimate child, a mamzeres, eino rashoi l'kaima, then he cannot stay with her. Shenemar v'lo tia l'isha, the pasuk says regarding a man who raped a girl, she shall be unto him as a wife, isha ruyolo, and we understand l'isha means a woman that is fit to be with him. The Gemara asks, tsar demai, when you say that the oinus pays tsar, what tsar are you referring to? What pain are you referring to? And the Gemara appears with a marking on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, the house shape that you see, Al Ezit Tsar Mishalmin La Anusa. So we have a few stages in the Gemara in order to answer this question. The second stage appears three lines from the top of Amud Beis. The Gemara continues, Omar Avua Dishmuel Tsar Shechofta Al Gabi Karka. It's the a payment made for the pain of being thrust upon the ground. And of course, we're talking about a rape. The Gemara asks a question, and you note that this is a long question. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera, elo me'ato. According to your explanation of what the tsar is, if that be the case, choftal gabi shiroin ochinami depoter, if he, let us say, cast her down upon shiroin, soft material, are you going to say there's no tsar payment? If you're saying that the tsar is associated with the impact with the hard ground, so then there would be no payment if he casts her, he thrusts her down onto a soft surface. And if you'll say that's right, he's exempt. V'chitei mochinami v'otanya. But have we not learned? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Ones einu mishamas atzar. Rabbi Shimon explains that the ones, in his opinion, does not pay tsar. Why? Mipnei, the Gemara continues with the top of Omid Beis, Shesoifa litzdair tachas baila. The tsar payment, whatever it is something that needs not to be paid because it's inevitable. She's going to experience this as a married woman. When the girl eventually marries, she's going to experience the same thing. So now, Rashi adds, if you're going to say that tsar is, as Avur Dishmuel said, being thrust on the ground, does that mean that when a woman gets married, her husband is going to inevitably thrust her on the ground? Of course not. So the tsar cannot be explained like Avuah d'Shmuel suggests. The Gemara continues, Omru lo, the Rabbanan said in response to Rabbi Shimon that the tzar must be paid because eino doma nivelus bainus nivelsur beratzon. You can't compare a forced intimacy to a willing intimacy. But once again, whatever the case is, to describe tsar as being thrust on the ground, the pain of impact being by being thrust on the ground, how can you say that when in the source the tsar is described as something that soifli should star tachas bailit, something that she's going to experience with her husband? Elo Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Baravua Tsar shall pisukur aglayim. Pisukur aglayim literally has to do with the spreading of the legs. Of course, when an act of intimacy takes place, that is part of what happens. So the machlokus here is a forced, we'll say, opening, the forced parting of the legs, or a willing parting of the legs. According to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't feel that there's a sufficient distinction between what she's experiencing now and what she will experience anyway as a married woman. Therefore, we can't mechayev the oinus, the ma'anis, to pay for that. And the chachamim disagree that when it's forced, it's accompanied, there's pain that's involved when it's forced, as opposed to where she does so willingly. The Gemara continues, v'cheinu omer, and there's also a pasuk that alludes to this, v'tefaski es raglayach l'chol over. The v'tefaski has to do with the spreading of the legs. Ihochi mefutenami. If that be the case, so then in pitui, in seduction, there should also be payment. There's a marking that you see, a double underline that appears, and on the side, it's Hesberim Loma Ein Tashlum Tsar B'Mefuta. Why is it that when it comes to seduction, so there is no a payment for Tsar? And once again, we're explaining Tsar as Pisuk Haraglayim. So why is that not paid in Mefuta? Omar Rav Nachmon, Omar Rabba Baravua, Moshol de Mefuta Lamad Over Doime. To appreciate what happens when a girl is seduced, what is it comparable to? L'odem shomer l'chavero. It's like a person saying to his friend, "Kra shiroyin shelivi poter. Tear my fabric." Shiroyin is some type of fabric. Tear it and be exempt, and you don't have to pay. One asks, "How is this an accurate analogy, though?" Shelivi. My own davuaninu, the girl, and the payments that she generates are belonging, we'll see, are owned, if you will, by the father. So it's not for her, so to speak, to offer exemption of a payment that's due to the father. Elo Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Baravua Pichoy Shebehen Oimros. And you note that this is a second version of Rav Nachman's presentation. He says, "Pichos shemeomros mefuta ein lo tsar." The astute girls amongst them tell us that there's no pain. Ah, v'hokol chazinu dislo, but we notice that there is pain. A girl who is seduced into intimacy, she does have tsar. So why is it not paid? And here you have three answers to that question. Number one, Omar Abaye, Omar Li Aim. I was told by my Aim, the woman that raised me, my mother died in childbirth, so the Aim is the foster mother. She told me, Kemaya Chamimi Al Reshe Dekarcha. The level of pain is like that which one would feel when hot water is poured over a bald head. So it's probably some type of tingling sensation, minor discomfort, but not something that we can translate into money terms. Rava Omar, Omra Li Bas Rav Chisda. Bas Rav Chisda, the daughter of Rav Chisda, happened to be Rava's wife. So she explained what the pain of that initial intimacy is like. Ki Rivda de Kusilta. It's like the piercing of a lancet in bloodletting. Again, it's a type of a prick, a minor pain. Rav Papa Amar, Omra Li Bas Abba Surah. the daughter of Abba Surah, was Rav Papa's wife. So my wife told me, ki namo akusha b'chinchi. It's like the feeling of eating hard bread as it rubs into one's gums. So there's again some level of discomfort, but not something that's significant enough that we would translate into a tsar payment. The Mishnah pointed out, ha'oines noisei miyad, ha'mefate l'chashiyotzi v'chulei. Here we have to translate. The ones is the rapist pays immediately. The mefate, the seducer, pays when he divorces her. So the translation suggests that the mefate seduced essentially his wife. He seduced her and he pays when he divorces her. Well, who do you divorce? You divorce your wife. So are you saying that he was mefate his wife? Obviously that's ridiculous. That's not the case. So the Gemara asks, l'cheshiyotzi, the term l'cheshiyotzi, ishtohi, does that mean it's already his wife? Obviously not. Omar Abaye, Emo, rather understand the Mishnah as follows. L'cheshiloy yichnos. The mefate will pay the 50 pieces of silver in the event that he does not end up marrying her. Tanyo nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Afal pi shomro mefate noisein l'cheshelo yichnos. Even though the mefate will pay the 50 pieces of silver in the event that the girl or the father of the girl do not want him to marry her. If they don't want him to marry her, then he must pay the fine. So even though that's the case, the payment for embarrassment and depreciation, that he has to pay immediately. Whether you're dealing with the case of rape or the case of seduction, the girl or her father can object to his marrying her. And as we go on the Gemara, we focus on this point. We have diamonds that highlight the words Oines and Mefate. On the side, under the Nosei Mivne heading, we see the diamond featured, and we noted Oines and Mefate. Mekoros de Bishnei Mo'av Anara Yeshlam Schus Lisnagi Lisuin. Sources that indicate both the girl and the father have the option of objecting to his marrying the offenders marrying her. Bishlama Mefuta, the Gemara says, I understand the case of the seducer, Ksivi Moin Yemoin Ovia. The Pasuk describes the father being Mimain, Main is to refuse. Ain li Elo Ovia, he atz minayin. The Pasuk spells out the father, so I say, I see the father here. How about the girl herself? Tamalomar Yemoin, Mikomakom, the double expression suggests to us not only the father but the girl also can voice her objection and thereby avoid the seducers marrying her. Ela oines, but regarding the case of rape, bishlamo ihiksi velo tiyeh, that unto him, unto the rapist, she shall be. And tiyeh means mi daita, if she approves. Ela avia minolan. From where do we see that the father, in the case of the rape, he can object? Amar Abaye, shelo yechote niskar. We want the father to be able to object so as not to give a prize to a sinner. Imagine the sinner rapes a girl, and the father wouldn't be able to object. So it would be make it easy for him to get a wife just like that. The father not being able to object. Rava Amar Kal V'Chomer. Rava says that the father is able to object in the case of rape is learned through Kal V'Chomer logic as follows. Uma mefate shelo ovar elo al das ovio bilvad. Mind you, in the case of seduction, the only one who was whose feeling was violated, who was pushed aside, who was overruled in the initial act, was her father. The girl was seduced. I mean, she agreed to the act at some point. The only one whose will was violated was the father. And yet we say, Bein he uvein ovio yecholim la'akev. Both she and the father are able to object. Oines she'ovar al das ovio ve'al das atzmo. In the case of rape, where he violated everyone's will, the girl's will and the father's will, lo kol shekein, all the more so will the father be able to object. Rava lomar kabaye, Rava presented his source, the Kal Vachomer source, and didn't follow Abaye's answer. Kevon de komishalim knas. Rava figures, since the guy's going to have to pay knas, in the case of Ones, he has to pay knas and immediately has to pay the knas. He has to pay the fine. Lav chote niskaru. We don't view him, even though, let's say, he ends up marrying her, and even if you would say that the father wouldn't be able to object, he still wouldn't be considered as getting a prize for a sin. He has to pay a good money. 50 pieces of silver is a lot of money. So he's not considered a sinner that benefits. So that Rava had to say, how do I know that the father is able to object? So he had to employ the Kal Vachomer logic. Abaye lomar kim Rava. Abaye, who said that the father can object in the case of Oinus because of Shleich Chotein Iskar, and didn't use Rava's Kal Vachomer, he explains. Abai explains, we'll say, the weakness in the Kal Vachomer. Mefate, in the case of seduction, which Rava wanted to use as a jumping off point for his Kal Vachomer, Abai says, no, you can't do that. Because Mefate, de'ihu motzi ma'akev, avionami motzi ma'akev. The reason for, let's say, the father's ability to resist in the case of Mefate is because the seducer himself is able to say, I seduced her, but I don't want to marry her. And he's able to say that. Oines, however, in the case of rape, de'ihu lo motzi ma'akev, the rapist has no say in the matter. He cannot say, I don't want her. If she says, I want him, that's it. He has no say. He has to take her. He has to take her as a wife. So in the case of rape, where the rapist has no say, avionami lo motzi ma'akev, the father likewise might very well not have the right to object. So Abaye says, I can't use Rava's Kal Vachomer. Therefore, I still feel, even though money is paid, if the father would not be able to object, you would have a situation of a chote niskar, of a sinner getting a prize for his reprehensible act. Tanya Idoch. Before we go further, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading. We feature a Machlokes Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy. Yesh Ksuba La'anusa. Is the Ksuba payment made in the case of an Anusa? Now, we've discussed Ksuba so often since the beginning of the Masechta. It's basically it's a document or it's a financial guarantee that a woman has in the event that she is either divorced or becomes a widow. That's in a standard marriage. The husband's obligation to pay ksuba, by the way, also serves as a deterrent to his rapid decision of divorcing his wife. A person knows he's going to have to pay the money that is guaranteed by the ksuba. He's not going to divorce his wife so quickly. That's by way of background. So now, we mentioned that in the case of a wife who happens to have become your wife as a result of the rape, let's say he Is there a ksuba payment made in her case? Let's see how this figures. The Gemara. Tanya Idach. Afal pi shomru, oynes noisein miyad, even though it was said that the rapist pays the fine immediately, we skip the bracketed section. Kishetetse he ain lo olav klum. When she creates a marital situation that practically forces him to give a get, Rashi says, "Kishetetse he im yotza me'aleh v'tova imeno get." If she walked out on him and she sought a divorce from him, if that happens, she gets no ksuba. Mace, in the event that the rapist who became her husband dies, likewise, no ksuba payment. Yotze kesef knasa b'ksubasa. The 50 pieces of silver, the 50 shkolim that she received, that is in lieu of the ksuba. So she essentially got the money or let's say the husband, by way of having to pay out, he paid out the 50 pieces of silver, and that's a payment in lieu of her collecting a ksuba. Now we have a bracketed section that we skipped, and within the brackets the language is difficult, and we read the final version. So let's read the brice again from the beginning. When he divorces her, when the rapist slash husband divorces her, ain lo olav klum. She has no claim against him. She can't claim her ksuba from him. The Gemara asks, there's a major inaccuracy here. Kishi yotzi mimotzi mapik lo. The source, as we read it, described it as he divorced her, but he can't divorce her. The pasuk says lo yuchal l'shalchol kol yomav. He's not allowed to release her. He's not allowed to divorce her. So what do you mean what's the divorce that you're referring to here in the case of an ones? So Amal rather say, kishetetse he, if she simply walks out of the marriage and demands a get from him, and he grants her desire, so ain lo olav klum. She has no further claim of a ksuba from him. Mace, if the husband dies, yotze kesef knasa b'ksubasa, the knas that he paid initially is in lieu of the ksuba payment that other husbands would pay, or that other husbands' estates would pay in the event that they die. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, yesh lo ksuba mona. She gets a ksuba of 100 zuz, as opposed to the standard 200 zuz ksuba that a woman who was never married would have received. B'mai komifligi, what's the underlying point of controversy? Rabbonan Savri, the Rabbonan figure like this. Taimo maitokin Rabbonan ksuba. Why was the ksuba guarantee formulated at the outset? Kidei shelo tekala bein of lotzio, so as to deter husbands from divorcing their wives. Well, let's translate this literally first. Kidei shelo tekala, so it shouldn't be easy bein of, in the eyes of the husband, lotzio, to divorce her, so as to create a certain level of difficulty in the divorce process. We tell the fellow, listen, if you divorce, you're going to have to pay a lot of money. So it deters from divorcing. But in the case of a rape and his subsequent marriage to her, lo motzi mapik, well, he can't divorce her anyway. You don't have to build in a deterrent, so therefore there's no ksuba payment that is made in the case of an oines. He can't divorce her anyway. For Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, o sovar, ha nami, in the case of an ones marriage, there still is the need to impose a ksuba payment, because here too, mitzayir lo, he could make life very unpleasant for her, ad di omra he, till the point that she initiates, lo bo'in aloch, I don't want to be with you anymore. How can we then deter him from making life so unpleasant for her? By insisting by imposing the ksuba payment on him, the rapist, as well. So you see that the question of does a rapist who rapist slash husband end up having to pay the ksuba to the girl in the event that the marriage is undone through a get. According to the Tanakhama, no, there's no ksuba payment. According to Rabbi Yossi Bibuda, yes, we have to. It's necessary to impose that because otherwise he wouldn't have any deterrent from making life very unpleasant for her. Oynes Shoyse Batzitzo. Mishnah pointed out that in the case of Oynes, he must remain with her, as opposed to the Mefate. Omar Le Rava Miparzakia Leravashi. Michti. Let's look into this issue. Migmar Gemiri Mehadadi. The topics of Oynes and Mefate are learned from one another. We pointed out that the Oynes is case and the method of payment is learned from Mefate, that the payment is in terms of shekel coins, a certain type of currency. And Mefate is learned from Oynes regarding the number of coins, the 50. So we see that the topics are learned one from the other. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Mem. Laha milso nami ligmaru mehadadi, regarding this matter as well. Let us derive Mefate from Oynes. Just like by the Oynes he cannot divorce her. We said shoyse batzitzo. Say the same thing by Mefate. Man seduces a girl and they marry. Divorce can be, he cannot initiate a divorce. The Gemara responds, Omar kro mohor yimorena loy liisha. The payment that is described, or say the pasuk that describes Mefate, means, it says he shall take her unto him as a wife. Lo means midaita, with his approval. So in this, because of this gzeras hakatzah, because of this scriptural reference, we don't compare Oynes to Mefate or Mefate to Oynes. True, by Oynes he has no say in the matter and he must marry her. In the case of Mefate, we don't say the same thing. He has to willingly want to marry, and if he doesn't, he can object and they don't marry. Before we continue, we glance at the side under the no say, the topic heading. Loma b'mamzeres shenansa lo amrina. Why is it that if a man rapes an illegitimate girl, we don't say shiavo asay deloti alisha? Let the positive command that the Torah says in the case of rape that she shall be unto him as a wife, let that come v'yidche halav shamamzeres and overrule, supersede the negative command of taking a mamzeres as a wife. This is a principle throughout the Torah that we say asay deichelos asay. Positive commands can supersede any, say, negative command that would interfere with the fulfillment of that positive command. So that it's in our Mishnah, though, it said that if she is unfit for him, so then they do not marry. The rapist happened to have raped a mamzeres. He does not take her as a wife. The Gemara asks, Omar Rav Kana, Amriso l'shmaitza kamedu Rav Zvid Narda. I said over this I spoke over this topic to Rav Zvid from the city of Narda, and the question was raised, Nesi asay v'nitchelos asay. Let the positive command of lo si alisha, lo means unto him, she shall be as a wife, through the power of this rule that positive commands supersede negative commands, let the positive command of lo tieli shavnicha loisase and supersede, push away the negative command that forbids a man to marry a mamzeres. Omar Lee. So, Rav Zvi told me this is a this story is being told to us by Rav Kahana, who says I told this over to Rav Zvi and I presented my problem, and so he answered me, "Heichon amrina nesia seva nichli lo isase." When is it that we apply that principle, that famous principle of asei dechel lo isase? Kegoi milo betzaras, a classic example of circumcision on a child that is experiencing tzoras. Tzoras, a discoloration of the skin, and it happens to be at that very part of the body that is circumcised. There is tzoras, and there is a command in the Torah, Yishome b'negat tzoras, one is not allowed to remove flesh that's afflicted by tzoras. Ah, if you can't remove flesh afflicted by tzoras, how are you going to circumcise the child? Circumcision is a positive mitzvah, it's an asei. And it comes along and overrules the negative command prohibiting the removal of tzoras. So in cases that pattern that can be modeled after the mila b'tzoras scenario, the lo efsher lekume l'asei, where it's impossible to fulfill the positive command, in this case circumcision, without violating the negative command. So in a case like that where it's inevitable, where you have no choice, where that's the only route that one can take, so we say, let the positive command push off the negative command. Aval ha'cha. But in the case of a rape, a man rapes a woman, a mamzeres, an illegitimate girl. E omra de lo bo'ina, if the girl says, I don't want to marry him, that's a Torah right she has. Mi ise la se klal, is there any presence of the positive command of lo tielisha? Lo lamid vav means unto him, lo tielisha? No, there isn't any element of her being unto him as a wife. She doesn't want to be a wife unto him. So since that is an option in the case of Oines, the rule of Asei Deichelosese doesn't apply. And in a case like that, we would simply tell her, look, you're a mamzeres, tell him that you don't want to marry him. And with that, we understand very well why we don't allow him to marry her, the mamzeres. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.